Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Wonder Truths, your health from the ground up. My name is Rebecca Becky Montrone, and I am a holistic healthcare practitioner with a degree in holistic nutrition. I'm also an herbalist. So here at Wonder Truths on 103 Roxbury Street in Keene, New Hampshire, downtown Keene, New Hampshire, we do a lot of really creative things here when it comes to botanical medicine. Make a lot of different formulas. I'm actually starting a brand new formula tomorrow if I get a chance to do that. I have all my little supplies coming in, and maybe I'll talk about that one next week, but kind of excited about that. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a topical for varicose veins and spider veins. I see a lot of products out there. I'm not terribly impressed. That's a big concern of a lot of people. And so we're going to give it a try. I'm going to take a stab at it and let you know when it's ready and how I think it works. And anyway, but I will go back and with my introduction. This practice is again on 103 Roxbury Street, just off Central Square in Keene, New Hampshire. Our open door office hours are 9:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. I can be reached here. We can be reached here at 603-439-2603. Also want to say, and one of my listeners and clients, Melinda, asked me to announce like what date this is because she was confused on what program she was hearing last week. So this is April 22nd today, Saturday, April 22nd, 2023. So going to be talking about nutritional know-how today. But to reach me and us, 603-439-2603. And I'm glad I said that because since I just started doing that, those of you who have been listening, and that's most of you who are listening when I was on WKBK, you have to actually know how to get in and listen to this program. And so I provide that in my newsletter every Saturday with a link to go here. But you can also go to Blog Talk Radio and look for me, and you can see those things. And I'm going to make that more obvious in the future. But what happened was I received a call yesterday from a woman in California who was listening to my podcast from last week on methylene blue. Those of you who saw my newsletter and heard that program or one or the other, she was listening to me and she heard my phone number given and gave me a call at that moment. So she was interested in learning more about methylene blue. So she's somebody who's not already part of the Wondrous Roots radio program family. And she found this by searching information on methylene blue. So I think that's pretty exciting because that's another benefit of how we're doing it now instead of working with a local radio station. So I'm pretty excited about that. So again, I've introduced myself. I gave my phone number. Our website is 603. Something just popped up and said I earned a gift card on my computer and it threw me off. Don't you hate that? So our website is wondrousroots.org, W-O-N-D-R-O-U-S, and .org. And you can go there to find out about us. You can find out how to view our products. You can also go there to radio and pick up many of the former, for years, former newsletters. And then going back quite some time, radio broadcasts from WKBK. So you can definitely do that. And if you are, yeah, so... Let's see. I think that's about it by way of introduction today. I feel like I'm missing something, but oh yeah, you can call in. So to call in, the number here is 563-999-3478. I will be live here from, you know, from now until 1 o'clock. And if you want to call and join the conversation, have a question, have a thought, an idea, you know, I love that. I'm always learning from my clients, from my listeners, and love to talk about anything and anything at all that relates to all of this wondrous health. And please feel free. Again, the number to call, 563-999-3478. I also want to explain that when you open up the newsletter to listen live, when I'm on here live, and you click that link, that will take you here now. But you can use that link again anytime later to listen to the program later. You don't have to wait till it's posted on my website. You can just use that link. That's another benefit to doing things with Blog Talk Radio, which I have really enjoyed in my short time using it. So I say here, you know, up your game with nutritional know-how. This program is, again, I've been talking a lot about food. In fact, it's funny. One of my clients, a dear client, came in and she said to, I was busy, but she said to Mary, and one of my assistants, and Mary relayed it to me. She's all into food. She's talking about food all the time. Is she no longer into supplements? And I thought that was kind of funny because I do talk a lot about supplements. In fact, last week I was all over it with this methylene blue, which again is something that's really knocked my socks off. And an IP6 plus inositol for cancer. So again, talking about cutting edge supplements, nutritional supplements that we can use as therapeutics when it comes to our health. But again, as I've always said, our health starts with our nutrition. And supplements are nutritional supplements, and they can amplify something. They can give a much greater effect when we're looking for that. So some of my favorites, as you know, glutathione is really huge. I love things that are work from a root level. That's the whole point here. And iodine is one of those. It's things that we need that we're missing many times. So, but today I'm going to be back on food. And I did my first two programs in this format, the Blog Talk Radio, on various foods. One of my favorite sources when it comes to nutrition is the Weston A. Price Foundation. I've talked about that before. Weston A. Price, who was a dentist around the 1940s, went all over the world and noticed how traditional diets in different cultures worked really well for them, and how just within a generation of bringing in the poor, sad Western diet, they lost many of their health gains. So anyway, that's the short background of Weston A. Price. But I really I agree with his principles of nutrition. And so I'm going to talk about that first. There's a wonderful page you can click on there. Again, learn more on my newsletter, and you will see that. And there's the first introduction, and he talks about, he's been gone for a while. Sally Fallon Morrell is now in his place, and he has a whole staff that do this. But says, are you confused about what to eat? Do you find it difficult to navigate the conflicting claims for different diet plans? Unfortunately, these dietary plans share little with the way healthy humans have eaten for thousands of years. At the Weston A. Price Foundation, we turn to the pioneering work of Dr. Weston A. Price to answer the question, what is a healthy diet? In 1939, Dr. Price published his book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, in which he describes the diets of healthy, non-industrialized people throughout the world. He studied many groups that had perfect dental health and perfect overall health, and he found a wide variety of foods in these diets. So I'm just going to kind of breeze through those a little bit. His first one is avoid all refined and denatured foods. And that refined and denatured foods, don't they comprise so much of what people are eating today? Maybe you are. Maybe you are in part. Maybe you are eating, you know, more healthfully sometimes, but just kind of on the run or whatever, going back into those foods. Sometimes just taking some planning and some prep can get you out of can help you avoid those pitfalls where you don't have anything healthy right at your hand. But a lot of people just love this stuff, and we have a lot of people who are just really sick and unhealthy today. It says here, the diets of healthy, non-industrialized peoples contained no refined or denatured foods or ingredients such as refined sugar or high fructose corn syrup, white flour, canned foods, pasteurized, homogenized, skim or low-fat milk, refined or hydrogenated vegetable oils, protein powders, synthetic vitamins, or toxic additives and artificial colorings. So that is an important thing. So again, I like to say my little mantra is, if God didn't make it, don't eat it. And eat things in their natural form. When we modify them, when we take fat out of dairy products, for example, it limits the way the body can use the nutrition in those foods. They were perfectly proportioned. They also accelerate certain things that you don't want, like in a skim milk, a higher glycemic index, a higher rate of sugar uptake into your body because you don't have the fat to slow it down, and you don't have the fat then as well to assimilate the fat-soluble vitamins found in that milk. So that's just one example. Include animal foods. This is something that, you know, we've been hearing a lot about in our current day of you know, virtue signaling and being told, you know, what we're supposed to think, what we're supposed to believe, what we're supposed to value, how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to talk, how we're supposed to plan our vocabulary. And we are also being told, you know, we need to go for plant-based diet. Everything needs to be plant-based. Now, I'm all for plant food. You know, this is not that. But this is, no, we're not going to give up our animal foods. We're not going to give up our meat. We're not going to give up our poultry. We're not going to give up our dairy products, our eggs, any of those foods. We are not doing that for any reason that somebody else wants, right? Unless I want to do that, and that would be, I would say, foolish. But if I did want to do that, that would be different than being urged and coerced and being provided with options that like fake meat, like things that kind of are like meat, and they've got stuff that makes it look like it's got real blood, but it's real crap when you come right down to it. But anyway, all traditional cultures consumed some sort of animal food, such as fish and shellfish, land and waterfowl, land and sea mammals, eggs, milk and milk products, reptiles, and insects. Well, there go the crickets. They do want us to eat crickets. The whole animal is consumed, muscle, meat, organs, bones, and fat, with the organ meats and fats preferred. That's really cool, too. Organ meats are super rich, and I want to start thinking about that in my thinking of food prep. My husband, Dale, is a big liverwurst. I love liverwurst, too, but he has liverwurst probably every single day at some point in time. And liver, organ meats are super good for us. They're rich in nutrients. And again, contrary to what some people think, well, the liver is where you detoxify everything. Well, that's right. And that's why it's clean. So it's detoxing everything. So don't have to worry about that. And then emphasize nutrient-dense foods, organ meats, animal fats, eggs, raw dairy, shellfish, fish liver oils, and fish eggs. Oh, the caviar. There we go. We have to have caviar. The diets of healthy, non-industrialized people contain at least 4 times the minerals and water-soluble vitamins and 10 times the fat-soluble vitamins found in animal fats, which include vitamin A, vitamin D, activator X, now thought to be vitamin K2, as the average American diet. Just think about it. You could be I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but people can be out there just eating, overeating, and eating plenty of calories and eating plenty of times a day and starving themselves. That's a sobering thought. Okay, eat some animal food raw. Cook most plant foods. Now that might sound surprising. We're just thinking, you know, shouldn't all our vegetables be raw, taken that way? But all traditional cultures cooked some or most of their food, especially plant foods like grains and vegetables, but all consumed a portion of their animal foods raw. And yes, you can look at different cultures for that, right? You can look at the Mediterranean, where the steak tartare, and, you know, Asian cuisines with sushi and, you know, raw fish eggs, things like that. So that's really, we've been told, too, that if foods are cooked, their natural digestive enzymes to digest them are impaired. But some foods are actually made more nutritious with some cooking. And I would say spinach is one of those, actually. So it's not always exactly we hear kind of these common bylines for things and then want to go by those, like a raw vegan, right? Some people are vegans. I had a client years ago who was a raw vegan. So not only was she a vegan, but I mean, everything was uncooked. She would eat, come home to a bucket. She was a doctor, actually, but her health began to suffer. She would come home to what she would call a bucket of salad every night. And then principle 5 is enjoy lacto-fermented condiments and beverages. Been doing a lot of that, so that, again, that fermentation. Primitive and traditional diets contain a high content of food enzymes and beneficial bacteria from lacto-fermented vegetables, fruits, beverages, dairy products, and condiments. So you can think about kimchi in Asian cuisines, Korean kimchi. We also I buy fermented pickles that have really wonderful probiotics in them. So we make our own yogurt, and from the yogurt I have the whey, and from the whey I make buttermilk. And all of these things are rich sources. Daily, we're getting lacto-fermented vegetables. So just, you know, incorporate those things. You want to be having those things, and not just once in a while, right? So if these are principles of a healthy diet, they're not something we do once every 6 months or occasionally. They are done on a regular basis. Prepare, principle 6, prepare seeds, grains, and nuts properly to minimize anti-nutrients and enhance digestibility. So seeds, grains, and nuts are soaked, sprouted, fermented, or naturally leavened to neutralize naturally occurring anti-nutrients such as enzyme inhibitors, tannins, and phytic acid. So there's a whole thing there, and a lot of people do sprout their grains or soak for a period of time, and seeds. And I have a wheel. I didn't grab it up here and put it on my newsletter right now, but it's a really cool wheel that tells you all the different seeds and nuts and how to spread, if they can be sprouted, if they can be soaked, how to do it, how to make, you know, an almond milk, a cashew milk, so that you are keeping the baby but throwing out negative bathwater. Phytic acid is really important. So sometimes, you know, you'll be out there reading, and it's like, oh, I can't have any legumes, I can't have any grains because it has phytic acid. Well, remember last week, if you were listening or if you paid attention to the newsletter, if you weren't listening, phytic acid is very important for IP6, a nutrient that we get from these foods, and it's highly anti-cancer. So again, keep the baby throw out the bathwater when it comes to these things. Bear with me one second. Number 7, enjoy saturated fats. Avoid industrial seed oils. And somebody was in a few weeks ago and was saying, you know, we shouldn't, she was confused. Well, she was like, you know, I don't want to have any seed oil. So thinking of like sunflower seed or that kind of an oil. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about industrial seed oil, such as rapeseed, which is canola oil, right? Which we're told is the healthy oil to use to cook. No, it's not. It's industrial. They use chemical solvents actually to make canola oil. So says total fat content of traditional diets varies from 30% to 80% of calories, but only about 4% of calories come from polyunsaturated oils that naturally occur in grains, legumes, nuts, fish, animal fats, and vegetables. The balance of fat calories is in the form of saturated and monounsaturated fatty acids. So again, think butter, think animal lard, think coconut oil. Those are really excellent oils. I'll be talking in a little bit about using coconut oil to modify rice so that you can down the calories by 50 to 60%. And that is a really cool discovery. Principle number eight, consume animal foods from land and sea to balance omega-6 and omega-3. So traditional diets, again, this is how Weston A. Price went about the world, observing traditional diets, contain nearly equal amounts of omega-6 and omega-3 essential fatty acids. Modern diets based on industrial seed oils can contain almost 20 times more omega-6 than omega-3 because industrial seed oils contain very high amounts of omega-6. Right. Now, this takes me back to, and many of you follow stuff in the news regarding health, and Dr. Joseph McCullough recently came out he's one person, but with how they're using mRNA vaccines for pork have been since 2015, moving on to other animals now too. And he said he didn't ever recommend anybody eat pork. And I'm like, why? And so I looked and he goes, well, it's very high in omega-6 and we all get too many omega-6. Well, no, we don't. Not if we're eating this way. If we're eating the sad American diet, if we're eating things with all of these inflammatory oils in them, though, that's the omega-6 you want to avoid, but you need omega-6 and it's in the right balance. So I would not rule out eating pork from a farm such as Walpole Valley Farms here in Walpole, New Hampshire, right up the road. Farms like that who raise their pigs very properly. They're fed correctly. They actually graze. They eat apples. They eat beautifully. They're very happy. They're very well cared for. And there's no problem eating pork from a source like that. And I just don't agree with that particular statement by Dr. Joseph Mercola, although he is such a value. Use refined salt liberally. Again, salt has been given a bad name. It says all traditional diets contain salt. Well, salt's sodium, right? And we need it. We go, oh no, low sodium is important for my blood pressure, for my health. You know, I just have to have low sodium. Well, that sodium that you're getting that is causing high blood pressure is not unrefined sea salt or Himalayan pink salt. It is salt, sodium that is contained in cans and in some foods to a high degree. Maybe if a person has a really, really severe problem with blood pressure, you know, it could be a little bit different, but really sea salt, you need to use salt to taste, generally speaking. Salt your food to taste. It's interesting how many people, again, virtue signal, you know, not picking up the salt shaker on the table and like, oh, I never salt my food. Well, good for you, because you really need salt, real salt. There is a product called Real Salt, but that's not what I meant. I mean salt that is nutritious, and it's one of our important electrolytes. So give up, if you're worried about sodium, give up that processed food, another reason to give up processed food, and things will work out very well for you, I would say. And then include number 10, include gelatinous bone broth in soups, stews, gravy and sauces. And I used to make bone broth a lot, and I haven't in a while, so that's another thing I gotta dust off and get back to doing. But all traditional cultures make use of animal bones, usually in the form of gelatin rich bone broth. And the benefits of bone broth and getting all of that great collagen support to all of the connective tissue, whether it be your arteries, whether it be your intestines, whether it be your skin, your hair, your nails, your muscles, your tendons, your joints, all super important to have that nice collagen support. Very, very nutritious. And you can use, you know, broth. You make broth and you can just use it all the time and just forget about picking up the stuff in a box. Broth when you're cooking and put it aside. It's fun to do that kind of thing. And then another big important, of great importance to me, is preconception and prenatal during pregnancy diet. You can make or break a child with your dietary choices during pregnancy and preconception, but you totally can make all the difference in your food for your child in food choices. So traditional cultures make provisions for the health of future generations by providing special nutrient-rich animal foods for parents-to-be, pregnant women, and growing children by adequate spacing of children and by teaching the principles of right diet to the young. Yeah, nothing better for your kids than to learn how to cook properly and enjoy preparation of food right there at your side by participating and learning. And I've said this many times, but both Dale, my husband, and I love to cook. We love to cook. And our daughter, Krista, who many of you have heard with me on the radio in times past, loves to cook. And it just happens. You catch that bug. I don't know if it's, I'm sure some of it is genetics, but I think a lot of it is, you know, what you grow up around. If you grow up around microwaving fast food, that's probably how you're going to start out your family when you begin. So that's another topic of making sure we train our kids in how to eat well. And, you know, it's like, it's so great, right? It's eating. It's not like don't eat. It's not like, oh, you know, just don't eat and you'll be fine and you'll be healthy. It's no, it's like eat, 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 but eat the right stuff. And I love that. Okay, so I'm going to go from there and move on. Now, this is really cool. This, I say an example of how traditional cuisines get it right. So this is the coconut oil hack can reduce white rice calories by 50 to 60%. This came from a difference. This isn't Weston A. Price information. This is actually Green Med Info. I've talked about many times greenmedinfo.org. Please check them out. A great treasure trove of information. Incredible, incredible what you can find there. But this was a recent article they put out. And the reason I say an example of how traditional cuisines get it right is because, just for example, we made earlier this week a chicken dish it was like Indian, okay? So it had full-fat coconut milk in it. And, of course, the Indians serve so much of their food with white rice. And so we did, it just goes, right? So listen to this. So the excessive, what you can do to outsmart, especially if you eat a lot of white rice. The excessive consumption of white rice can contribute to overweight, obesity, and blood sugar disorders. Exciting research indicates adding coconut oil while cooking it can dramatically and positively alter its nutritional structure and function. Well, that's great. I usually, when I'm making rice, I usually add butter and olive oil. So, we'll be adding coconut oil. This is, but it's not even that. There's even another way you can do it, and that's by making it into a resistant starch. So I'm just going to read through this. The specific ways in which a food will affect your blood sugar depends on a wide range of factors. For instance, you can't just take a particular food's glycemic rating in isolation, such as white rice, because it is invariably consumed with other ingredients and dishes. And some of them containing fat or spices may significantly reduce the effect of a particular ingredient within a meal, will have on your blood sugar. White rice, of course, is emblematic of a highly processed grain, as its germ and bran have been removed, which constitute the bulk of its vitamins, minerals, essential fats, and fiber. What you have remaining is essentially starch, which being comprised of a large number of glucose units is a form of quote-unquote hidden sugar. It rates about 65 on the glycemic index when compared to brown rice is about 10 points higher. White sugar, sucrose, for perspective, is rated 68, and an apple, 38. Within certain schools of nutritional thought, it has long been held that if you mix certain fats with carbohydrate-rich, high-glycemic, starchy foods, you will be able to reduce the blood sugar-raising effect they have, yet little scientific research has been conducted to prove this. Two scientists from the College of Chemical Sciences, Industrial Technology Institute, Sri Lanka, have found an innovative way to shed light on this theory, making new news headlines with their remarkable results. An undergraduate, Sudhir James, presented his preliminary research at National Meeting and Exposition of the American Chemical Society last month. This was sent out this week, so this is really recent. Quote, what we did is cook the rice as you normally do, but when the water is boiling, before adding the rice, we added coconut oil, about 3% of the weight of the rice you're going to cook. After it was ready, we let it cool in the refrigerator. Now you're going to say, well, great, now I can't eat it with my whatever, but I'm going to get back to that. I'm sure they will. James' supervisor, Dr. Pushparia Savaraya, pointed out in an interview that this formulation renders the starch more resistant to digestion. Quote, if you can reduce the digestible starch in something like steamed rice, you can reduce the calories. The impact could be huge, unquote. We've talked about resistant starch before, and I know when John Hike was on, who's been a guest host many times, we've talked about that. So, and I talked about it not long ago. Raw potato, green bananas, but you can actually use pasta and cook it and cool it. And rice and cook it and cool it. So that's what where they're going for with this, for this additional boon to making this. The researchers tested 8 different recipes on 38 different types of rice available in Sri Lanka. And when their new cooking method was applied to the least healthful of varieties, they produced a 10 to 12% reduction in calories. but they claim this is just the beginning and that a 50 to 60% reduction is possible using their method with more suitable varieties of rice, which will be tested in the future. We said that. The oil interacts with the starch in the rice and changes its architecture, says James. Then chilling the rice then helps foster the conversion of starches. The result is a healthier serving, even when you heat it back up. See, you can heat it back up. So do your prep. So say it's Sunday when we do some food prep for the week. Cook your rice then with the coconut oil. Then put it in the refrigerator when you're going to go have a nice Indian-based meal or whatever it is, or a nice stir fry or something, and you want some white rice that is very common to how those dishes taste great and how they're served, then take it out and reheat it. You still have the benefit from the coconut oil and having cooled it so that now you have resistant starch, which means that starch moves to your small intestine, becomes a prebiotic, from which now you make your own probiotics. Again, intestinal health is one of our big problems today. There's so much, so many health issues that are related to the gut. And people are like, you know, I take probiotics, take a probiotic. Take a probiotic if you need a probiotic. I never take probiotics because I don't need them. I eat in a way that it keeps my intestinal flora the way it's supposed to be. So again, lacto-fermented, foods, also, resistant starches, things like that. If you're eating a healthy diet and you haven't been compromised, your health hasn't been, and your microbiome hasn't been compromised, you know, with antibiotic therapy and things like that, then your intestinal microbiome should be fine. But many people's are not. One of the tricks of this new process is that the finished product must be refrigerated for 12 hours and served. The coconut oil, it was reported, changed the structure of the rice molecularly in such a way that its starch turns healthier, unquote. It was also observed that even when the chilled rice was reheated, it still maintained its novel properties. James explained the chemistry behind this alteration. Quote, cooling for 12 hours will lead to formation of hydrogen bonds between the amylose molecules outside the rice grains, which also turns it into a resistant starch, unquote. To learn more about resistant starch, read Kelly Brogan, MD's article on the topic here. It should be noted that there is already a form of rice known as parboiled or converted rice, right? We've all seen that on the shelves in the stores, which is both lower in calories and much lower on the glycemic index at 38. Remember, we were talking about 65 for regular rice. In the production of parboiled rice, the vitamins and minerals from the husk are forced through steaming and being dried into the starchy and gelatinous granule. This retains about approximately 80% as much of the nutrients as brown rice and also creates prebiotic fuel, type 3 resistant starch for beneficial bacteria in the gut. Well, there you go. That's a modified, not the way God made it, but it looks like you can eat it, converted rice, and have some health benefits to eating converted rice. So maybe if you don't want to prep on the weekend your white rice for the week the way I want to, you can use some converted rice for similar effect. With biotech corporations scrambling to alter the genetic code of food crops to accomplish similar results, which can be patented, monetized, and controlled, this new research is a refreshing reminder that culinary innovations, some of them no doubt drawing from ancient tradition, again, back to those traditional foods, may solve problems and enhance nutritional profiles in simple and do-it-yourself ways. I love it. Back to basics, back to nature. And tradition. And Dale just did something for me. He just sent to me It's my husband, for those, just a reminder. I created an account and a reminder for your show. Thought you would like to see it. So I don't know, Dale, if you can actually call me and tell me about that, if you think that's pertinent, do it. You know the number to call. So I think you're saying how people can do that, and then they get a reminder when my show is going to be coming if they sign up. And that would be really great. Then you don't have to wait for my newsletter either. You'll get an email announcement from Blog Talk Radio. Okay, so have here. Okay, now another thing. Now I'm back onto food, right? Radishes are surprisingly good for you. Again, what do you think about radishes, right? You think, oh yeah, occasionally I throw radishes in my salad. Some people really like them, but probably don't. They're colorful. They've got a nice flavor that balances off some of the other flavors and complements in a salad. But radishes are root vegetables that might not command the most attention, but offer plenty of health benefits. They come in a wealth of colors, ranging from white to purple to black, and can be found round or long and cylindrical. Radishes can be cooked, eaten raw, or pickled, depending on your taste or preference. People usually consume them raw as a crunchy vegetable in salads or as a part of a number of European dishes. Middle Easterners may drink radish juice to get their nutrients and other perks. Well, there you go. Another juice to drink, radish juice. In folk medicine, in Greece and the Arab world, radishes are regarded as household remedies for conditions such as gallstones, jaundice, liver problems, indigestion, rectal prolapse, and other gastric woes. And so here are some of the health benefits as backed by modern research. Better digestion. Number one, a half cup of raw radish, about 12 medium radishes, provides 1 gram of dietary fiber, so several servings a day can help you reach your target daily intake. Fiber has been linked to improved digestion as well as inverse relationship to obesity, type 2 diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. Radish leaves, purely helpful for digestion. Like, I've never used the radish leaves, have you? According to the findings of a 2008 study, animal models fed a high cholesterol diet had a good fiber source in radish leaf powder, which helped enhance their digestive function. Radishes are known to promote the production of bile, a crucial element of optimal digestion that assists the liver and gallbladder. So that's really important. How many people out there have had their gallbladders out? A lot of people have their gallbladders out, and then they don't know that they have to use something supplementally, like a supplement of lipase, to be able to digest properly, the way to try to make up for what the gallbladder isn't there doing that it should be doing. But so increasing bile is super, super important for digestion. Relief of urinary discomfort. Radishes are diuretic, which means that they help increase the production of urine. Since ancient times, extracts from the plant have been used to treat urinary infections, among a host of benefits, mostly attributed to the presence of glucosinolates, of polyphenols, and isothiocyanates in it. A radish-containing diet was also found to increase the excretion of calcium oxalate, which forms kidney stones. Okay, so that's really great because oxalates are found in a lot of foods, in a lot of healthy foods, in a lot of foods that we want to eat. So again, eating a wide range of foods allows us to offset having spinach, which is high in oxalates, with radishes, right? Or eating a diet that contains both can help offset the oxalate problem. The crystal count in the urine was found to be significantly higher in both. A radish-containing diet was also found to increase the excretion of calcium oxalate, which forms kidney stones, versus self-selected diets. The crystal count in the urine was found to be significantly higher in both men and women. Radish also surfaced in a 20. Okay, right. So you're getting rid of it. Radish also surfaced in a 2012 study to act against Candida albicans, a common cause of oral and vaginal yeast infections. The root crop was found to help induce cell death in the fungus. So there you go. Somebody was saying to me something about Candida the other day, And a lot of people are under the impression that they candida is, you know, is systemic. So systemic candida is a very serious problem. We usually see that in people with AIDS, and it can affect the brain. But most candida problems that we have that your average person has are those, like the thrush in the mouth, right, or a vaginal infection. And again, radishes. So another reason to include those, not just once in a while. Liver and gallbladder protection, again, is known to have protective effects on the liver and gallbladder. Based on a 2012 study on animal models, white radish enzyme extracts may shield against liver toxicity. And another, black radish. Have you seen black radishes? I have at the co-op. And I'm like, I gotta look into those. And I'm not going to get one right now. They're huge. They're black. But anyway, in another study, black radish juice relieved cholesterol gallstones and decreased triglycerides while increasing HDL cholesterol levels in mice, the so-called good cholesterol. In Mexico, black radish juice is a folk treatment for gallstones as well as for reducing cholesterol. Okay, black radishes. Now, I am going to the co-op today. I'm going to grab a couple and experiment around with them, find some good recipes. Speaking of which, I've got some cool recipes, three, on my newsletter today. Anti-cancer properties. This is the radish we're still talking about here. A 2010 study linked radish root extract, particularly its various types of isothiocyanates, to cell death in some cancer cell lines. The root exerts potential chemopreventive efficacy and induces apoptosis, which means programmed cell death, in cancer cell lines through modulation of genes involved in apoptotic signaling pathway, noted the researchers. Radish seed extract, too, was seen in a 2019 study to induce cancer cell death and reduce the migration of oral squamous cell carcinoma, thus serving as a potential anti-cancer drug. Wow. And that would be like oral squamous cell cancer carcinoma, something on your tongue, maybe the roof of your mouth, cheek. Enhanced cardiovascular health. Radishes are a rich source of anthocyanins, flavonoids, that not only give them their vibrant color, but also a number of health benefits. Blah, 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 blah. Radishes in your vegetable garden, blah, 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 do. But anyway, so yeah, here's to radishes. I think that's really, really excellent info. And so, yeah, eat up. Now, finally, going here to top 10 spring vegetables, the top 10 spring vegetables, according to Josh Axe, nutrition benefits and how to eat. And we have there artichokes. And we did just have artichokes, I think 2 weeks ago. Forgot how much we like those. We're going to have those again soon. Peaks in the spring and fall, and nearly 100% of this spring vegetable grows in the United States. Artichokes have a unique nutty and slightly sweet flavor. We know it can be steamed, boiled, or roasted. They come with a slew of health benefits, too. They're rich in antioxidants, boost heart health, and are a good source of fiber, folate, and vitamins C and K. Asparagus. Asparagus is a popular spring vegetable that contains virtually no fat while being very low in calories, rich in fiber, vitamin K, vitamin A, plus has anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties, and it serves as a natural diuretic that promotes detoxification. Rose oil, blah, blah, blah. Green peas. Fresh green peas are a quintessential spring vegetable with a sweet and delicate flavor. They can be added to a long list of recipes. They're a great source of plant-based protein. That's true. Sometimes when people are looking for protein powders, especially when it's a case of somebody needing that because they can't eat for one reason or another due to illness, so we need to fortify the diet however we can. Pea protein is something that isn't a good option, much better than soy protein. Peas can be eaten. One cup contains almost 9 grams of protein. Peas. Wow. There's a peas on your plate and you were thinking the meat was the protein, right? And the peas were just a veggie. Making them a healthy food option, peas are high in fiber and vitamins A, C, and K. And peas can be eaten raw or cooked and are great in salad, soups, or as a side dish. You can also blend them to make dips, drips, or spreads. I think they meant dips with raw vegetables. Radishes, so I won't go back to that. Rhubarb. Rhubarb is a high-fiber food that eases digestive complaints, contains vitamin K that strengthens the bones, and helps reduce inflammation. Rhubarb can be roasted, stewed, and baked, typically combined with other sweet ingredients like berries to help balance out its flavor. You can also use it to make jams, salads, etc. Spinach is a leafy green that is packed with vitamins and minerals, contributing to many of its health benefits. Contains over 100% of your daily recommended vitamin K plus A, vitamin C, iron, and folate. Of course, that's, you know, the RDA. I wouldn't say that's optimal, 100%. Now, it looks like we have a call, and I actually saw it right away, and I'm going to pick up. Thanks for calling. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, Becky. It's
Pat.
I had a question. If I miss one of your broadcasts, how can I get it back?
So you just go to the newsletter that it was in.
Okay.
And just click on the link. I also post it on my website like I used to after the fact.
If you
just open the newsletter, that link will work. But Dale just sent me also. He goes, "Hi, listener so and so. The show Nutritional Know-How is going to start shortly. Listen now." But again, that's kind of back. But if you have your own account set up with Blog Talk Radio, so go to blogtalkradio.org, anybody who wants to do that, and you can set up your account. You can follow me, and you'll get notifications too, something like that. But again, the link will work, ever after, as long as,
Right, and I could always go to your website as well.
Right, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Pat. And I appreciate the question because I'm sure that is, we're still working out the kinks here on all of this. And it's really great. I think it's much more versatile than what we've been doing with the local WKBK situation. So really excited about it and have more. I need to spend a little bit more time investigating all of the perks. But again, for somebody to be researching in California, looking on the web for information on methylene blue and to hit my podcast, I think that's pretty great. So, all right. Spinach, watercress, peppery green that's low in calories but high in vitamins A, C, and K. It contains omega-3 fatty acids, helps reduce inflammation, and supports healthy skin. In fact, we use watercress as one of our plants in all of our skin products. Watercress is one of the plants that is extracted into to make our wondrous skin oil from which everything is made. All of our products have that oil in them. The creams and the lotions. Carrots are highly nutritious and cleansing because of their fiber content. Plus, they're extremely high in vitamin A, which benefits immunity, eye health, reproduction, skin health, and bone strength. Carrots come in a variety of colors, although we think of them as orange. They can be fixed in many different ways. Beets, I've talked about beets a lot lately, so I won't go too much into that, but they're amazing. May enhance athletic performance and cognitive function, improve heart weakness, liver toxicity, irritability, and restlessness. We're eating beets every day lately. Yeah, we have for several weeks now. Just beets are there. Prepare them ahead of time. They're in the refrigerator. Just put them on along in our lunchbox. Very easy to do, very tasty, and really great. Fava beans. These nutty-tasting beans are high in protein and fiber and also contain folate, manganese, copper, and other important minerals. Fava beans also support healthy cardiovascular function, a strong immune system, and healthy motor function. They can also provide energy. Fava beans are a staple in Mediterranean cuisine and often steamed, boiled, or mashed. To start cooking with fava beans, try this asparagus and fava beans with toasted almonds recipe. That is, let me click on that. Oh, that looks really good. Yeah, if you open up the page I just did, the Josh Axe page, you'll see that recipe. and it has fava beans, shelled asparagus, olive oil, garlic, one lemon juice and zest, a half cup raw almonds. That sounds super healthy, and that is actually a Martha Stewart recipe. Now let me go back to the recipes I put in my newsletter today, kind of based on that. Sauteed tarragon radishes. That really appealed to me, right? Because not just like a few radishes in your tossed salad, but having a side dish that is just actually sauteed radishes. That sounds great. So you have unsalted butter, 6 pounds radishes. Wow. About 9 cups of radishes. A quarter cup of white wine or water. 2 teaspoons minced fresh tarragon or a half teaspoon dried tarragon, salt and pepper. That sounds fantastic. I love tarragon. And so you can just click there and get that recipe. And then roasted carrots with thyme, medium carrots, a pound of carrots, minced fresh thyme or dried thyme. It says canola oil, forget the canola oil, and go with some coconut oil. You can use, if you want to use coconut oil and not have it taste like coconut, just get the Fresh Field, trying to think what it's called, refined. Okay, so it still has all the health benefits of coconut oil, but it doesn't have the taste, unless you want the taste, which you might in roasted carrots with thyme. And then finally, an herby pea salad. Now, this one, I kind of looked at and I was like, well, I mean, I love it. It's got olive oil, leeks. I love leeks. Zucchini, that's the thing. Zucchini is more like a summer thing. And we're talking about eating with the seasons here. But it has asparagus, right? Spring vegetable. And they're using 3 cups frozen petite peas. And then minced fresh chives and parsley, and again, minced fresh tarragon. We've got tarragon in there with a dressing of olive oil, rice or white wine vinegar, salt, Dijon mustard, and pepper. That looks fantastic. I'm definitely going to be making that before too long. And what else do I want to say here? Oh, just featuring there in the newsletter, our Wondrous Roots Summer Woe Rescue Kit, which is includes, you know, we love summer and spring, but got a lot of stuff going on that can be annoying and challenging to health for some people. I had somebody in the other day, she actually has a severe allergy to black flies. I mean, she has to carry an EpiPen for that. And you live in this area when it comes to black flies. And, you know, she has to basically stay inside. That's really sad. And I don't have an answer for that. That's really severe. But we have in the kit our Allergy Relief Plus, our Lyme Resistance. So Lyme Resistance is a formula you can take internally containing astragalus, containing echinacea, containing holy basil, containing eleuthero, containing plantain. And I think that's it. But these work to help outsmart the bacteria from the ticks, the Lyme bacteria, from outsmarting your immune system and getting in the first place. Can be taken internally, but also topically applied to bites. And then our Bug Blast, is a lovely, it smells great, very effective formula, and it's something in there for every bug I could think of. And then our jewelweed soap and oil. So jewelweed is the antidote, the overshiel in poison ivy, oak, and sumac. And so you want to have that on hand. And you want to have it on hand when you get poison ivy. You don't want to have to go looking around for it because it's kind of hard to find. We do have it, but it's better to have it in your summer first aid kit, your natural first aid kit. And plantain salve for bites and stings. Tick remover, 3 different sizes to get those ticks out safely. And then our Wondrous Lips our Wonderslips to keep your lips from getting sunburned and keep them nice and moist and healthy. And I think we're running out of time. I want to thank you for listening, and I wish you well. Get inspired and get doing some cooking, and all for your health. And I'll be back next week with another riveting episode of Wondrous Roots, your health from the ground up.